Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It is November 21st at 1:07 p.m. I thought we'd kick off today in looking at Bitcoin because it's down $484, but it's back below the trend mean. I thought there are two interesting things that are worth highlighting. The first is that one of the bigger miners in the cryptocurrency space IPO'd today, Canaan, and they raised less than a quarter of what they had anticipated. They were looking for about 400 million, and to raise 400 million, they raised about 70. So that's a further example of these companies that stayed private for too long, are coming to the market now with inflated valuations, and are not achieving the kinds of value in the real world that had been accrued on paper. And I think that is something that is going to come back and bite a significant number of funds over the course of the next year or two. We've already seen that happen this year. I don't think it's going to slow down next year. The race for yield, the desire for funds and pensions and insurance companies to explore alternatives has created an environment where private asset prices have been pushed extraordinarily high. The returns from private equity have far outstripped that of the fixed income markets, and that has been highly attractive. But the fact of the matter is that when you're talking about a private company, then the only way to value one is based upon its cash flows. If they don't have cash flows, then how do you value it? It's really sticking one's thumb in the air. I mean, there is no way to really come up with a good valuation. The other point that I thought was interesting about Bitcoin in particular is the consistency that it is capable of, despite the fact that it is extraordinarily volatile. It's not an especially large market, but it does tend to whip around a lot. But in between those periods of time, it does tend to have these really quite impressive consistency characteristics that are easily identifiable. In terms of the downtrend, what I think is interesting is that in June it peaked at 14,000, in July it peaked at 13,000, in August 12, in September 11, in October 10. So what we've certainly seen has been a decline over the course of November so far. It's in the region of the low from back in October. If this consistency is going to remain intact, well, we should see 9,000 represent an area of resistance in November. We haven't seen that yet. There is the potential that we do get a bounce from here, but of course what it is going to have to do is to sustain a move above 9,000 in order to confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. When we then think about why is it that crypto might be pulling back, well, there is less demand for a safe haven, and for whatever reason, people do continue to consider Bitcoin as an alternative asset class. 10-year yields were in positive territory today. The sequence of higher reaction lows so far has continued to remain intact. Well, that continues to suggest that the lows are in. And I think we would really need to see a sustained move below the 1.5% level to question that this isn't a supply-dominated environment in the government bond markets. And when we then think about stock markets to one extent or another over the course of the last 18 months have been held hostage by the outlook for the trade war. You had the chief negotiator from China saying that he was cautiously optimistic, and here today that was viewed as positive. But outside of all of that, you can clearly see that we've had a very impressive advance since the beginning of October. There is a short-term overbought condition. Some pause and consolidation is warranted. We do appear to be getting it. And as long as that's all we're getting, then there is clear potential that we're going to see further upside. A sustained move back below the 2900 point level would really be required to even begin to question that this isn't still a demand-dominated environment. But when we look at other markets, the DAX, for example, is the European market that has done best really over the course of the last decade. It's also consolidating in here. It rallied really very impressively from the low in October. So this is a pretty pronounced global phenomenon that we have short-term overbought conditions that are now being unwound. That was particularly true today in the Japanese market, where the Nikkei had pulled back really very sharply initially, but was able to recoup most of it. That, I think, bolsters the potential that we're going to see a relatively mild consolidation in the region of the upper side of this range that's persisted for nearly 2 years already. I'm certainly very much of the view that this whole range looks like a first step above the base. Of course, the other market where we have first step above the base characteristics is gold. The price was in positive territory off the open, but finished in negative territory. This is still a relatively slow period of mean reversion. And I think that's as we can anticipate that it is going to eventually get back towards the trend mean. If the $1,450 area holds, then that would be the best of all possible scenarios, considering it's the upper side of the range that persisted between late June and July. But I don't think that that's a necessary condition for base formation or the breakout from the base to be sustained. In fact, it's not at all beyond the bounds possibility that we could see a period of further volatility with gold. There is obviously the potential that we could get an uptick in volatility for what is characteristically a volatile instrument. I think it would really need to be sustaining a move below $1,350 to question that this isn't still a bull market environment. I do think that we've been set up for the next attractive entry point in the gold market, and nothing has really occurred to question that hypothesis. Then I think when we look at the large cap companies, the FANG index, for example, has been holding a sequence of higher reaction lows for most of the year, and it is now testing its high for the year. This has been a reasonably impressive rebound. It's being led higher by companies like Apple, which has been accelerating. And there is an increasingly wide overextension relative to the trend mean. So eventually it is going to be susceptible to some pause and consolidation. Microsoft does look to be somewhat better underpinned, but it gapped on the upside a couple of weeks ago. And there is also here a short-term overbought condition. Tesla announced its pickup truck in here today, and that is potentially going to be a catalyst for additional growth. The share is right back in the region of the upper side of the range that persisted in 2017 and 18. It's completely unwound the decline in the first half of this year. There's a very wide overextension here, and it looks really quite overbought, so I think it is more likely than not we're going to see some consolidation. I think it is worth paying particular attention right now to the commodities sector. The oil price was up $1.30 in here today, so it has rebounded now 2 days in a row, and this has continued to look like a period of consolidation, but now there is more of an upward bias. There is a clear backwardation in terms of the price, which is suggestive of a near-term supply deficit. So that is a fundamental support for prices. If it can push successfully, and I need to go back to the continuation chart, but if it can successfully push back above the $65 area on Brent crude, then that will be pushing back above the trend mean, and it will begin to confirm more than short-term steadying in this area. We're going to have to see either significantly higher prices primarily, but also that longer dated prices catch up with shorter date prices. In other words, the best time for the fracking sector to hedge their supply is when they can lock in highly attractive rates for long periods of time. One of the reasons why there was an acute surplus at the end of 2018 was because prices had previously been up to $80 and frackers hedged out a lot of their capacity. So we're not back up at the $80 level yet. There is the potential that it could indeed get there. There will, of course, then be an additional incentive for the frackers to start hedging their exposure at really quite attractive levels. That's why I think that we are probably more in a rangy rather than a trending environment for oil. Whenever prices get up to $80 a barrel, it is going to encourage a great deal of additional supply to come back in. This strength in the oil sector has helped to be, or has contributed to, a supportive environment for the continuous commodity index in the region of the trend mean. More than anything else, the potential for commodities to at least push back up towards the upper side of this range and to conclusively break the downtrend over the last 18 months, then that is perhaps the greatest evidence that the Chinese economy is not in fact collapsing. CSI 300 is right in the region of 4,000, but it's stacked full of state-owned enterprises which do tend to get the most assistance. The Shenzhen B-shares is still right around the lower side of its range and was relatively quiet in here today. The renminbi was a little bit steadier. When we cast the net a little wider, Bolsonaro in Brazil stated yesterday that he would prefer to see the real trading stronger than 4, but they don't seem willing at present to do anything other than to jawbone the market. But certainly the real is at least steadying here at the lower side of its range, or the dollar has at least paused. When we look at the euro, it was in negative territory in here today. It absolutely needs to sustain a move above the trend mean in order to confirm a return to demand dominance. When we look then at what's going on in South Africa, they have just started graft proceedings against some of the senior members of the Zuma administration, which is a positive. It is a testament to the potential that the new administration is reform and governance improvement minded, and if the rand can sustain a move stronger than 14.5, then that would be viewed, I think, rather favorably by investors. India is certainly also in the news. The rupee was a little steadier over the last few sessions. The Nifty index was relatively unchanged and just looks like it is consolidating in the region of the peak from back in May. This quiet environment, I think it belies the kind of activity that's going on right now. The first is that Modi has announced a wide and a sweeping range of privatizations in the Indian market. So that is something that is particularly welcome from the perspective of growth-minded investors. Then they have also taken over Dewan Housing Finance. Well, the share has been declining at a rather aggressive rate over the course of this year, going from 250 to 20 is certainly a very big move. But it is now going to be taken over by the government. So they are now introducing more substantive action to tackle the problems that are outstanding in the non-bank lending sector, and that's primarily in the housing finance sector. So that does suggest that there is going to be at least a potential solution to this dearth of liquidity in the non-bank lending sector. That's really quite positive from the outlook for the wider economy. it does then therefore look like that the Indian market is going to continue to trend higher despite the short-term risk of some additional consolidation. When we then think about what is likely in terms of the political outlook, the Labour Party are certainly coming out swinging in terms of the UK election. The pound has been really quite steady, so it is not, or the investors are not willing to predict that there is going to be a big upset on the electoral front. The US Democratic Party's debate occurred last night, and there's not much to report from that, and it certainly didn't affect markets either. Of course, then when we look at Israel, there is the potential that Benjamin Netanyahu is going to be prosecuted. They still don't have a government there. They may even have to have a third election. But the local market has broken very emphatically up and out of what was a four-year range. While there is a short-term overbought condition, it continues to look like it can push on the upside. I think it's also worth considering that if the Chinese market is not going to implode, then some of these other Asian markets should start to benefit. The SET index in Thailand is right at the lower side of its range. If it's going to bounce, then this is about where that should be starting to happen. The Malaysian market, which has been a wallflower for most of the last couple of years, remains in a really quite consistent downtrend and has not yet been able to break it. And these represent some of the indices that have been under the most pressure. Vietnam, having broken on the upside, has now pulled back to the region of the trend mean. This is where it needs to find support if we're going to see continued upside. One of the reasons why we haven't had greater interest in the emerging markets has been because of the strength of the dollar. The dollar is still steady around the region of the trend mean, and just like the euro, this is the inverse. It would need to sustain a move below the trend mean, and not just break below it, but sustain a move below it in order to confirm that the demand-dominated dollar environment has passed. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.